Welcome to show number 104 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Hey, what's going on, everybody? How's it going? Hopefully you guys are doing well out there. Lots of interesting things to talk about on today's show. We've got a big buy, sell, and hold. I actually planned this back a while ago, and I've actually had to go. I changed one guy from a sell. I had a sell. Maybe I forget when I planned the podcast, maybe like a month and a half, 2 months ago. I had him as a sell then. Now he's a buy, or kind of like a mild buy hold. So that's how fast things change in the NFL. And we're going to see even faster. I remember Randall Cobb. I can't remember if the Packers played on Sunday night or Monday night on the first game last year. And he like returned some kicks and like he looked like a world beater. And all of a sudden his cards blew up. So we're going to see the exact same thing. I think the Cowboys and the Giants play on Wednesday. I mean, two of the league's most popular teams. So you got DeMarco Murray coming back. I know his cards have probably gotten a little more action now because it looked like he was playing pretty well and looked like he was healthy. So we'll see what happens. And you always got the Giants, Eli Manning. Everybody always collects Eli Manning. There's lots of other people on those teams, and including David Wilson. I picked up David Wilson on a couple of my fantasy teams just because I heard on the radio something about how people liked him, and Ahmad Bradshaw is always hurt, and I think Brandon Jacobs is now on in San Francisco. So he could see some time. There's lots of young running backs. There's Doug Martin, who's going to be the starter in Tampa Bay. I mean, there's all these starting QBs. I mean, outside that, we know Russell Wilson and Ryan Tannehill, all these guys. So football is really interesting. And I was just taking a look at Finest. Man, they cut back on the Tannehills, the Trent Richardsons, the Andrew Lux, the Robert Griffin III. I mean, there's plenty of Nick Toons and all those guys in there, but they cut back on the top guys. So you can imagine that but with all that, still, even when the companies cut back and they limit all the superstars in the card sets, it's still cool when there's a bunch of them because, you know, hey, AJ Jenkins could catch a couple balls. You got Justin Blackman. There's Kendall Wright. There's just a lot of things, a lot of unknowns. I mean, it could turn out to be a total bust and maybe Andrew Luck's the only good player. Robert Griffin III gets sacked and throws picks. Who knows? Anything could happen, so that's fun. So I know this week for a lot of you for fantasy, I've got a fantasy draft actually in about 30 minutes. So you know this first segment is not going to touch that far along. So, but in terms of what we're going to talk about on today's show, buy, sell, or hold, we got football. Hey, it's football week. We got a whole buy, sell, or hold football where I've got a couple players. We'll talk about them, and we'll talk maybe about some other football. Once I get done with this fantasy draft, some football will be fresh in my mind, so we'll talk about all kinds of things in our second segment. This first segment, hey, the last four or five shows we've been running down news and stuff, and so that's kind of what we'll do today. I heard on the radio Kareem is getting a statue outside the Lakers stadium. I mean, seems a little past. I mean, maybe I know that the team's torch is getting passed from Jerry to I can't remember the other guy's name, but so we're seeing a little bit, not an ownership change, but a passing of the torch in Lakers ownership realm. And so I like to see they're retiring Shaq's number. They're retiring Jamal Wilkes' number. Kareem's getting a statue. That's the kind of stuff I love to see. People love the Giants and are big fans around in my city for the Giants. I know the Red Sox do a good job. All teams in baseball seem to do a really good, and the Yankees do a really good job of honoring the guys in the past, where the Lakers just kind of had, you know, I think they have Magic out in front, and I think they got the jerseys, obviously, but hey, they got a lot of players they could, you know, feature a lot more around the stadium, at statues-wise, so it's a good thing to see. So you might see a card bump. I mean, you never know. Those kind of things happen, so we'll see. Thought that was interesting. Another thing, the industry summit. I know most of you that are in the business, it's the 17th through the 20th of March at the Orleans Casino and Hotel. So basically, if it's run similar schedule to last year, you almost don't need to be there that first day unless you really want to get things going right away. The conferences and a lot of the big things that happen in terms of meet and greets with the companies and with suppliers and stuff doesn't really normally happen until the following day. And I know we left this past year, a couple months ago, on the last day schedule. There was a couple things on the schedule, but it wasn't a huge. You can actually go to our website and find the schedule. You can also go back to our podcast during that time. That was only a couple months ago, so that has a lot of links and information in those as well. I believe I set that up right. So maybe if I didn't, I'll go back and check. But anyways, the Industry Summit's coming up. They have a website, theindustrysummit.com. It's $299, although you can normally get comped. If you're a first-time attendee, I believe you can get comped by a distributor. Should be pretty easy. It's one of those things. If you want to go, maybe set up your business now. This is why I mention it right now, because you've got Christmas coming up and Black Friday. You could, I mean, maybe you already sell cards, but maybe you could legitimize your business a little bit more. Maybe you don't necessarily, we talk a lot about on the show about selling cards and supplies. These suppliers also have like die-cast, and they have those McFarlane figures. They have all the gaming, the Magic, and the Cryptozoic, and the Benchwarmers, and there's Yu-Gi-Oh! Not that Benchwarmers like good for kids, but you can sell that too. They've got fan items like foam fingers and stuff like that, you know, keychains, things of that nature. So you don't necessarily have to, maybe you already have a single card collection, or maybe you have a little something going and you're cool with that, but maybe you could branch out to a few items and stuff like that. So this is where you can make a lot of relationships. Also, if $299 sounds a little steep, you can often I don't ever really sell anything that I get at the thing, but Trent Richardson signed 8x10s, and those were really hot back in March, right? I think that was maybe before he got drafted, it was before he got drafted. Gary Payton signed autographs. Lots of people signed autographs. You get those black boxes from Panini, which are worth several hundred dollars usually. I think maybe $250, $300, it depends. And if you open it up and you get something good, like a Kobe or something like that, you could be walking. I know they give away Kobe shoes. There's all kinds of ways to pick up. Like Leaf has a lot of giveaways and historic autographs. Those kind of companies give away a lot of stuff as well. So if you want to, if your finances are tight, you can hope to recoup. I don't want to say, you know, anything can happen in Vegas. So if you happen to blow some of your money or something happens, maybe you won't recoup a lot of it, but you will recoup some if you can sell it and resist the temptation. My brother said there was people buying stuff right there on the spot. So you could have gotten something and sold it right there to either another dealer or someone else there trying to buy it. So, hey, It's a pretty good deal. Again, March 17th through the 20th, theindustrysummit.com, www.theindustrysummit.com. You can find Kevin is the guy that puts it on. You can find his email. If you have any questions, I encourage you to direct them towards him. He'll be able to answer them much better than anyone else. And it looks like you can register now. So he has a reg online, so you can. Or that goes back to 2012. I don't know. I'd contact him first before you went through and registered and dropped three bills and make sure he's taking it now. But I believe it's the same price. You want to just get ready. It's definitely going to happen. March 17th through the 20th. Heck, I'm ready. And we're like 4 months out. Actually, honestly, I don't even know. I know my brother is 100% going this year. I don't know if I'm going to go because I'm actually going to be in Vegas like 2 months prior. So I honestly don't think I have the money to go back-to-back trips to Vegas. I honestly don't roll that big. So I don't think I'll make the back-to-back Vegas. Unless it goes really well, my first trip. If it goes well at the poker tables and hits a jackpot, maybe. But anyways, last thing I wanted to touch on is I've been watching these, like, I think you guys know. I think a lot of people watch these pawn broker shows, pawn wars, and all this storage stuff. It's pretty interesting because a lot of the times baseball cards come up. I know there's a guy that owns a Las Vegas shop in Vegas, and he comes on the show regularly and stuff like that. You can even visit his store while you're there. And but I often see, like, people say, oh, if it comes with paperwork, it's all good, we'll buy it. You know, you always have to look at the paperwork as well, as though it could be forged. There's a lot of paperwork that is no good. So I think those shows often, although sometimes they investigate the paperwork and they explain that not all paperwork is created equal, You do want to be aware. I don't know if they make it clear enough that there are certain places where the paperwork is more ironclad than others. And also to the fact that no paperwork is ironclad, especially when it's of an item that is particularly old, like a Babe Ruth autograph or something similar to that. No one saw Babe Ruth sign that. So no one knows if he signed. I don't care if you have the greatest autograph handwriting expert in the world. No one saw him sign it. So there's no – if you took that to a court, there would be no way to prove it guilty or whatever without a reasonable doubt. So those are the kind of things you want to think about when you're buying autographs and things of that nature. But in the same sense, you can sometimes find good deals because people are so worried about it. If you do find a particular seller that has some maybe – I would never go for like the Jordans and like the Kobe's. They sign exclusive deals and stuff like that. But certainly minor league ballplayers – my brother goes to a lot of minor league games and they have autograph signings all the time. And my brother gets jerseys and you can go down to the field and before the game. I mean, it's part of what these guys do to draw fans out. I mean, it's kind of – you know, especially when you have a fan base that they need to draw fans to a stadium, the guys are going to sign autographs. So those are the kind of things you want to think about. You can often get those cards for a couple bucks compared to maybe their Bowman Chrome. Surely you could have gotten Mike Trout in the minors, and I think plenty of people probably tried him TTM. I don't know if you could have gotten him in the last year or two, but hey, maybe before that, I don't know. But those are the things you want to think about. The key point you want to take away is with the paperwork, make sure you do your investigation on any kind of paperwork you get as well. Go to any kind of website or any kind of information, any names on there. You want to search through and see who those people are and see, you know, what's going on there. And if there's any shadow of doubt, go ahead and always walk away. There's never any pressure in this business. I know it's tough on eBay because you're sitting there trying to win something, but, you know, hey, there's never any pressure. You could always – I mean, it seems like, hey, Babe Ruth died a long time ago, and it just seems like there's baseballs coming up all the time. There was that Black Swamp find where the PSA 10, like, cards that are 100 years old. I mean, that kind of stuff, people would have – I mean, that's a like a – rare find, obviously. So, but it's happening today. I'm sure it'll continue to happen in the future, even though how rare, maybe it'll take another 50 years. Maybe this podcast won't even be around anymore when it happens again. But that's the kind of thing you want to think about. The COAs, just be careful. I see a lot of talk that, hey, if it's got paperwork, it's all legit. But hey, just like fantasy football, you can have the top-ranked quarterback, the top-ranked running back, and your team could not be legit, especially after week one. Lots of different things can happen. So I'm going to attempt buy, sell, hold on football, especially right before the season starts. It's a little insane. It's like trying to – I don't know. It's just a little insane because anything could happen. We all know this. They got the replacement refs. I'll hopefully remember to talk a little bit about the replacement refs, how I think it's impacted my fantasy drafting as well. So you want to think about that because if they got them for the first game, they've got them for the first 3 weeks probably because, you know, we know how those labor agreements tend to work out. So they take a while. We'll see what happens. We've got coming up buy, sell, hold, football style, right after this. Gridiron music there for you guys. Thanks for coming back. Now we're gonna buy, sell, hold football edition right before football. I know we're all just, if you're like me, just can't wait until football season starts. So here we go. These are a couple names and then I'll run down some rookies and stuff like that. Not that I know anything more than any of you listening, but we're just having fun here. You know, we got to talk about football since it starts this week. So first guy on my list is quarterback Joe Flacco. 2011 was really kind of a rough year statistically for him. He had career low ratings of QB rating, completion percentage, and touchdowns. All three were career lows. So statistically, he had a horrible year. And he also fumbled more while being sacked less than previous years. So he's actually giving up the ball while still being protected. Although I think they had some protection issues at times. He did have Torrey Smith emerge as a nice option. And Ray Rice, anytime he can hand the ball off to Ray Rice. And also you still have the Baltimore defense, which also puts you in good spots. So Joe Flacco had a little bit of an off year, and it has some Ravens fans and maybe even the organizations wondering, hey, is this guy our long-term guy? But I think you can probably hold him here. I don't think it'd be wise to sell him here, because two things could happen. He could have kind of an off year, and maybe Ray Lewis retires, or Ed Reed, or maybe the Ravens decide to go in another direction, rebuild or whatever, and he moves on to another team. I think he definitely could be a starter on a lot. We see all these teams starting rookie quarterbacks. He could definitely be a starter in a lot of other teams. So, you know, he would get a boost at that point, I think, if he moved on. Even if he had a rough year, I think at the end of the season, he could move on to another team, and then his cards could go back up. So you definitely wouldn't want to sell at this moment. And he also could have a really good year. I think the times I've seen Torrey Smith, I see at least two Ravens games a year against the Bengals. I mean, Torrey Smith is a really good receiver. They have a couple other guys. As typical with the NFL, you know the quarterback and the running back of teams you just follow. But they have serviceable wide receivers, and they have a great running back, and they're pretty well coached, and they have a great defense. So I think you hold them. In other situations, you might sell. And to spoil it, my next guy, Sam Bradford, I got a sell rating on this guy. And not that I'm like totally pessimistic on his career or like his long term, but definitely in the short term, in this coming season, this could be one of my worst calls, but I'm going to say sell, because he consistently got hurt in college, it seemed like. I didn't really follow his career, but I think he came out of college hurt. He got hurt last year. He only played in 10 games. And he was 29th in quarterback rating. He was 27th in passing yards. In completion, he was 31st, which I think is dead last. So in 10 games, you should actually have a little bit better completion percentage, I guess, because you've actually had less attempts. I don't know, but he was pretty bad across the whole board last year. And maybe he was hurt, and I know that the Rams don't have a whole lot of weapons. And that's maybe my point here on his sell rating. I think the Rams get worse before they get better. And maybe they only have a season or two where they're rebuilding. I know they got like Isaiah P, and they got some other guys. I think they got a wide receiver as well in the draft. So they're getting some weapons. I think they signed a couple guys. So they're trying to rebuild, but I still think they're a ways away. I think their defense has gotten better. So they'll start turning the corner, but turning the corner doesn't make your cards go up. Sometimes it makes them go down. And a lot of the pressure is going to be on Sam Bradford. If they don't win games and they look bad, and I think they're in a pretty tough division where they play relatively tough teams. So that there's not much of a chance that they rise up and become the 49ers or, you know, make the playoffs like the Bengals did last year. Obviously, there's a chance, because I know everybody thought the Bengals might have drafted Andrew Luck. So anything can happen. And speaking of the 49ers, Alex Smith, another quarterback here, his QB rating last year was 9th, his passing yards was 19th, and his completion percentage was 11th. It's overall, QB rating 9th, that's exceptional. Everything else, completion percentage 11th, 19th passing yards, he's right there. He's a really solid NFL quarterback. I got a sell on him only because I heard some things on the radio. This is like a sell hold. You could hold Alex Smith because I don't think they could go a whole bunch lower. I posted a thing on our website. I don't know if I talked about it on our show, where I analyzed his contenders from 2005 and the peak in like December, January, when the 49ers made their playoff run. They were buy it now is hitting on that card every day for like 200, 200, 250, like whatever the peak price was. It was just hitting. So the card went way up, and I think it started the year at 40 and then ended the year around 40, but it had a huge spike in it. So I would say you could sell hold here. I have sell here. I might change that to maybe a sell hold, because I really don't think there's you could hold here because if the 49ers are good and they go – I think they were like 13-3 last year. They have a great defense. They're well coached. A lot of people speak very highly of Jim Harbaugh, and he is a great coach. So there's a possibility here. But the point I wanted to make was I heard on the radio that they have like four QBs in camp. I know Colin Kaepernick is one of them, and they have a couple other QBs. They're trying to figure out what QB they can cut. And maybe the news has already come across. I'm sure it has. So I'll have to go to their website and figure out what they did. Did they keep four QBs? And you can maybe check that out as you're listening to this. But I heard they all looked good. I didn't really watch any of the games, but from what I was hearing on the radio from maybe one of the coaches or somebody that watches the team a lot, they said all the QBs look good. So that's not good for Alex Smith. If he struggles or if he even looks a little bit like last year because he struggled a little bit last year, they might give him the boot. So they have Randy Moss, they have some other wide receivers that they've brought in. They're expecting big things. They have Kendall Hunter on a second year. They have Frank Gore still. So they're expecting, and obviously with their defense, they're talking Super Bowl out here. I don't know if people on the East Coast and outside of California really realize the 49ers think they can win the Super Bowl this year. So in that mind, that's why maybe I have the sell rating on Alex Smith, because the 49ers are thinking about winning the Super Bowl. I think they have absolutely no chance to win the Super Bowl. Maybe I'm wrong. I think they had a spectacular run last year, but their defense has to fall into place for them to win. And for it to happen 2 years in a row is difficult. Speaking of 2 years in a row, this is one, I think I teased it in the beginning of the show. When I type this up, I actually have a created date on this. August, no, never mind, I changed it. Shoot, I can't remember when I created this podcast. I think it was about 5 or 6 shows ago, so whenever that was. I had Ben Tate as a sell, and it was because I went and looked at eBay prices, and I thought people were paying a lot of money for a guy that was basically like the second string if Arian Foster is healthy. But there was – at the time, I think too, there was rumors of like other teams. They didn't end up – I don't think they ended up moving him. So he has 900 – he had 942 rushing yards last year in 15 games. But in 8 games, he had less than 15 carries. So he really did the bulk of his – 942 in 7 games, or he just had some big runs. He had 4 100-yard rushing games, so he had 100-plus yard rushing games. He had 4 TDs and 4 fumbles, so he let the ball go a little bit. So at the time, I looked at those numbers and looked at people like paying almost like starting running back money for him, and I was like, ah, sell. Then I went to look at what people are paying now, and it's quite a bit less. His fantasy stock and his love, everybody kind of forgets, you know, last year Arian Foster's healthy. I think he's the number one on everybody's fantasy list. So Ben Tate is like, you know, backup running back material. However, Arian Foster's had trouble staying healthy. And there's no telling. Ben Tate, it looks like he only had 8 games last year where he had more than 10 carries. So it's not like he took on a full load last year and got his body all banged up. He should be fresh and ready to go, even if he's banged up a little bit now. I think this is somewhat of a moderate buy. I wouldn't go out and buy, you know, a $400 card of his, but I saw autographs in the $10 to $15, $20 range. I think you could splurge there if you're getting a nice one and a really collectible one. It might be worth it. Next, another running back. Rarely do you have 2 buys on running back. These might be my 2 worst calls or my 2 best ones. You know, you never really know. But Cedric Benson, I do know Cedric Benson. Cedric Benson, now playing for the Green Bay Packers, he had 3 straight 1,000-yard seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. He was always in good shape, wasn't always mentally maybe on the same page as everybody, maybe kind of, I don't know. I kind of got the sense, I don't know this, but I kind of got the sense that there was the Bengals and then there was Cedric Benson, and that we liked Cedric Benson, but he's a kind of a quiet guy, a serious guy. I don't know how well he gelled with the Bengals. I don't think that will matter in Green Bay. Green Bay just wants to win a Super Bowl. They have leaders in the locker room. They have guys that, they have a lot of guys that have won Super Bowl. So Cedric Benson probably won't run his mouth very much. And he's one of the top on the charts of the running back depth. And Cedric Benson cards are pretty cheap because Bears fans don't like him and Bengals fans now at this point don't like him. So I think you could dip back and go find one of his – I forget what year. He might have been 05 or something like that. You could go back and buy something because the Green Bay – everybody has the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl. The 49ers want to make the Super Bowl. A lot of people have the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl. They were the best team for most of last year. So if they can somehow have a better end stretch run towards the end, and if Cedric Benson is a part of that, Green Bay Packers fans are going to love this guy. I can imagine if he gets off to a good start, the first couple cards with him in a Green Bay Packer card are going to be somewhat collectible card. I'm not going to say his base card is going to go for $10 unless he's like leading the league in rushing, but he'd probably have to do more than that for it to be worth $10. But I'm saying a mild buy here on Cedric Benson because of the team he's on. If he was on just about any other team, almost any other situation, I'd say no. But it's like perfect team, perfect situation. It could work out pretty good for him. Next one on my list is everybody's favorite player in the NFL, Tim Tebow. At least everybody's favorite player to talk about, especially in Bristol, Connecticut or whatever. So Tim Tebow, these are the key facts about Tim Tebow. He's got a very loyal fan base. He will get playing time this year, 100%, whether it's running on punts or he's actually playing quarterback or something. And he's one of the most interesting athletes in the NFL, and he's probably one of the more interesting – he's probably not that high on the list, but he's on the list of one of the more interesting athletes in all of sports, and it's because of my number one key fact. He has a loyal fan base. He has people that are crazy about him, people that are crazy haters of him, and people that are out there that crazy love him because you should see how much his cards go for. So that's why I say hold on Tim Tebow. I would almost never say – you never say never, but in the near future, you don't sell Tim Tebow because there is a definite possibility that he gets playing time. And in New York, if he did what he did last year in Denver, he was getting a lot of heat. In New York, those people would be going at – he would have that whole city – the whole city would not be talking to – I don't even know New York, but I'm pretty sure the whole city would just be talking about Tim Tebow. Now, I know people were doing that in the playoffs last year when he was with the Broncos, but it would be on a completely different level if he did that with the Jets. So we'll see what happens there, but I would hold or buy Tim Tebow right now because of his fan base. He has such an ingrained group of Gator Bait fans that you don't want to go against that group of fans right now. The trend of his cards just have seemed to hold a little bit here after his playoff run, even after they've kind of fallen. You know, everybody comes back down to earth. We saw it with Alex Smith. We've seen it with Sam Bradford. Seen it with all these guys on the list. You know, Joe Flacco's a guy that used to be worth a ton of money. You know, whenever you're a rookie and you're hot, things are golden for you. But it's been a few years for Tebow, but his autograph rookies still sell for solid money. So that's a sign that you probably don't want to sell unless he has some kind of hype around him, because chances are he'll make something happen for him. Now on to some rookies. Andrew Luck, he could be like the next hobby golden boy. I've seen him on the cover of Topps, Finest, and he could be the next like kind of NFL golden boy. You know, the NFL loved Peyton Manning. He was like in Visa and all kinds of Reebok and DirecTV. It seemed like Peyton Manning was on every commercial every Sunday. I mean, every commercial had Peyton Manning in it. So Andrew Luck, I don't know if he has that kind of personality. I don't know if we would have said that about Peyton Manning, and he kind of molded into it. So we'll see with Andrew Luck. Seems like he's playing pretty darn good. I've seen some highlights and stuff. He looks pretty darn good. We'll see how it translates into into the regular season games coming up this week. But hey, I think you really can't go wrong here. You could sell, hold, or buy him because it's so early in his career. We've seen with Cam Newton as all the products come out, especially if you have a brand new product, sometimes that really early release, you could sell. So all these rookies are almost all in the same vein. They're buy, sell, hold. But I'm kind of going over some of the ones that I think might have key seasons and that you've probably definitely seen in products recently. Brandon Whedon, there was rumors that he was going to be like the starter way early on, and he's like an older rookie. He's like, I can't remember. I say older in quotes. I mean, he's a lot younger than me, I think. But he's the starter. They still have Colt McCoy in Browns and so on the Browns. So I think you want to be careful there, because if Whedon kind of sucks, then Colt McCoy is still has shown that he's a serviceable quarterback. So you just want to be careful there. I think you could you could sell both. You could be buying both. I think, like I said, I won't try to repeat that, but I think you could do just about anything here. But Brandon Whedon's in an interesting spot, because they're not going to give him a long leash here. If he struggles for a couple of games, Colt McCoy, I'm sure, will step in and we'll see what he's got. So it could be a buying opportunity for Colt McCoy, because people see him, hey, not a starter. He still has a big Texas fan base. I believe he played there. And that fan base is as good as the Florida or better fan base. So we see what college football fans do to card value. So we'll see what happens there. David Wilson, I just heard a random thing on the radio that this guy was looking good. The people in New York liked him, the coaches or whatever. Somebody liked him in New York. So I think I got him in like three fantasy leagues. I have Matt Ryan too. I have a couple guys in multiple leagues. And for some reason, David Wilson was always kind of like my last pick, because they have Ahmad Bradshaw there that always seems to get hurt. So I got David Wilson. They seem to like him. We'll see what happens. He got some carries in the regular season. I don't expect him to do anything, but there's always that first game. The Giants play that first game, and that first game is almost like a mini Super Bowl. Everybody's watching that first game. So if he does anything, a little 40-yard run or something, gets a touchdown, catches a screen pass and breaks it off, his cards would bump, literally, just one play. So I have David Wilson, and then in the fantasy sense, you could trade him if he does anything. 40, 50 yards looks good. Ahmad Bradshaw twists an ankle, something. You know, I could trade him for maybe a more serviceable running back. We'll see what happens. Doug Martin, totally biased here, because this guy's actually from my hometown. I went to a high school that, how should I say, not in the best neighborhood. So it's great. It's not that high school has churned out some really solid graduates and some solid citizens. And not that the neighborhood that your school is in is a reflection of the kind of people that come out of the school. But Doug Martin's a highly exceptional person from that high school, and he has made it to the NFL. It looks like he is for sure the starting running back in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I'm rooting for him. I say go buy his rookie cards. I hope he wins the Rookie of the Year. I hope he gets 1,000 yards, and I hope he just tears it up. So that would be great for in a city that has a lot of not very bright spots recently. That would be tremendous. We're all rooting for Doug Martin. Isaiah Pede. Hey, Steven Jackson's getting to that age where, you know, how many running backs from that era are still, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew. I don't think they were in the same draft class, but Steven Jackson's a little bit. We saw LaDainian just retire. He was from 2001. So, and, you know, hey, Steven Jackson's getting to that age where, you know, Isaiah Pede could be thrusted into a very solid opportunity. And it's not that Steven Jackson has stayed 100% healthy his whole career. So the Rams would be good to maybe try to split some backs to keep Steven Jackson, because I think Steven Jackson is a very effective player when he's 100% healthy. But he always seems to have like a quad or a hammy or something. So it'd be nice to keep him on the sidelines occasionally. So Isaiah Pede could get some love on a team that nobody's expecting anything from, and sometimes that's the best spot to be in, as I saw last year for my favorite team. So hey, if you're a fan of the Rams, don't be too discouraged. It's maybe the best spot to be in. Nobody cares about you. Everybody is expecting to beat you. Everybody might think it's kind of a week off, already Martha W. And players like Isaiah Pede, who are playing for their next contract, and maybe a lot of other guys on that team, they'll be playing their hearts out. So you never know what could happen. Speaking of my favorite team, Mohamed Sanu, an interesting rookie, and I don't have him listed here, but I'll throw the next guy in here. Mohamed Sanu, taken, I think, in the third round. The team cut Jordan Shipley, who I never really thought had the body, or was, he was a good receiver. No hating on Jordan Shipley. or the guy, I think he's a really nice guy too, from the videos. Not that I met him or anything, but from videos, I see a lot of videos on Bengals.com. So when I act like I know these guys, it's just because I've seen a lot of in the locker room. They post a lot of in the locker room videos, and those are always really interesting. But anyways, Mohamed Sanu, they cut Jordan Shipley, who was already hurt and I don't think could ever stay healthy to play a lot of games. So Mohamed Sanu's in there. Looks like a solid guy. Looks a little young, but has caught a few balls. I don't know how much playing time he'll get because we do have Brandon Tate. There's this other guy, Armond Binns. Another guy I'll mention, Marvin Jones, has been playing fairly well for the Bengals. So I don't know how much run he'll get. So I think you could value buy Mohamed Sanu at some point. I don't think he's one of those wide receivers that'll break off right in the beginning and everybody will be like, oh, I got to go get. Really what drives a value is obviously playing on the field, but fantasy is such a big – a lot of people obviously play fantasy, and obviously if you play fantasy, you collect cards. So some when those guys go up the fantasy wire, it's like, oh, I gotta go pick up Mohamed Sanu and on my bye week for Randy Moss or whatever. You know, hey, that drives awareness and it often drives values of guys. So I don't think he's gonna be one of those guys early on because I think the Bengals have a lot of depth and they're not that kind of team. They're gonna be trying to stuff it into AJ Green and Jermaine. So I don't think he'll put up huge numbers. But he's a solid player, and I think you could value buy him, along with Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones looks a little more spectacular. He's not going to have as many rookies and as many rookie autographs, but he's an interesting player that has caught, I think, maybe two touchdowns in the preseason, at least one. I think last week he definitely had one. We'll see how those guys pan out. I don't think any of them will bust off and be big-time players, but keep those guys on your – when you get those guys in packs and instead of selling them for $2, it could be a hold opportunity because the Bengals don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver. 1-2 years down the line, those guys could be our number one, number two guy for sure. Robert Griffin III. Speaking of guys that are going to be big, Robert Griffin III, his agent has got him. I've seen him in Subway. I've seen him in Gatorade. He's probably with like Reebok, Nike, or Adidas, one of those. And so that's fans because I've seen this guy's almost turned into the new Peyton Manning. I've seen this guy in a lot of advertisements online, offline, on TV. So I can imagine once the game starts, people really like this guy, really big track guy. This guy's going to be, I think, more electrifying than we think. Obviously, I didn't see him in college because I don't really – I forget what – he went to like a smaller college, I think, a smaller in quotes, college. And so I don't know much about his game, but I just read a couple things about him last week. And he loved track and he was really good at it and he was obviously a tremendous athlete. So I think he's going to be electrified. Let's hope he can stay healthy. Let's hope he can slide. I think they showed him – I was watching the NFL Network one day, and they showed him trying to slide. And it's not very graceful. But I don't know if he'll need to slide. I remember Michael Vick in the early days. Michael Vick didn't have to slide that much. He was just running by guys. So we'll see if he has that kind of blowaway speed. But a track athlete is going to be a different kind of athlete out there than typical NFL. You got a lot of guys out there that are pushing weights all day, and then you have a track guy is going to blow by a guy. Like, I don't care how much that guy is pumped through him. There's no way. So we'll see how tremendous. I think Robert Griffin, I just drafted in a league that was two quarterbacks, and I almost wanted to get Robert Griffin as my third, like kind of like my third sleeper QB, but it didn't work out. He's the kind of guy that could definitely turn into Cam Newton or kind of be that kind of dynamic player. So we'll see what happens. That's what's so exciting because I could give a crap about Washington. No offense to any of the fans out there, but I'm sure you don't give a crap about the Bengals. However, Robert Griffin III is a very interesting player. And so I'm definitely interested in him and seeing how if he does well and Washington's 16-0, hey, that's great. I'm sure if you pulled any of his cards, they're going to be worth a fortune. So hopefully that happens. And Robert Griffin III right now is a buy, sell, or hold, just a classic buy, sell, or hold. Just flip a coin, download an app, get that like coin flipping one. It does really, I don't think you could go wrong anyway. Well, no matter how, even if they go 16-0 and you look back and you could have sold it for more, at this time, you just never know with these rookies. You could sell the hype now, you could buy the hype now that it could get even greater. And you could just hold it. If you already have one of the cards, you could just hold it and wait and see. And I don't think any one of those things is – you could argue against any one of those things. Russell Wilson, speaking about hype, all of a sudden became the Seahawks starter in everybody's radar. I'm like, who's this guy? Especially people like me. So for me, I think of this guy as like a boom or bust guy. You know, will he be like Andy Dalton? Maybe. And just kind of steady, steady, steady. And then all of a sudden, oh, you're in the playoffs. I don't know. I really see this guy as like he's either coming off and he's like, you know, the little brother of Cam Newton, or he's the little brother of like Ryan Leaf or something. So we'll see what happens. I don't know, because just kind of the Seahawks are that kind of team. And I think the coach that they have is that kind of coach. He's kind of wild. And I think he wouldn't be scared to pull this guy, or maybe even do like a double quarterback thing where he has Wilson in some plays and another guy in another place. I don't know which way it'll go. So we'll see. But Russell Wilson's another guy, just like Robert Griffin III. I could give a crap about the Seahawks, but Russell Wilson, I take that back. I think I have Marshawn Lynch in a league. I think I have Marshawn Lynch maybe in two leagues. So I do give a crap about the Seahawks. So Russell Wilson's a guy. Hey, you know, he's a starter now. We'll see what happens there. Last one today, folks. Thanks for hanging with us all the way through to like the 40-ish minute mark. Ryan Tannehill, this guy seemed to be – fans seem to love this guy. They're on – maybe part of it is they're on HBO Hard Knocks right now. Obviously, Miami has a tremendous fan base that's there. I don't know how well they've supported the team recently, only because they've been losing and they're in that kind of like older – I think they're still in that older stadium, so – we'll see what happens here. This is another guy that could boom or bust, but he seems to have a following maybe from college, because I noticed his exquisite cards were selling for a lot of money, and his cards were selling for money. So it's one of the – Ryan Tannehill is maybe one of those guys where I would lean towards selling, because I seem to think it's a little rich. Obviously, they have room to go. If he comes out and throws three touchdowns, they start winning – they've got room to go, because it seems like people are really like this guy. I don't know. I don't know him. I haven't watched Hard Knocks. It's not on – I have this HBO app. You're supposed to be able to watch that stuff. I haven't seen it on there, or at least I haven't picked it up on there. So I wanted to see the ones with Chad Johnson. I wanted to see the one where he got cut. Apparently that one's a pretty interesting episode, but maybe I'll catch it at some point. But apparently people really like this guy. So I seem to think the values are a little rich here. I don't know how good the Dolphins are. I mean, I think they still have like Reggie Bush and Daniel Thomas. And I don't know who they – I mean, they had Chad Johnson in at wide receivers. So I don't know who he's going to throw the ball to. So I don't know how great Miami will be. Maybe they'll be, again, like this year's Bengals. But I don't know. For me, I'd be more worried, and I'd probably sell and look to buy later. I think they're maybe a little rich right now. This is maybe the one rookie that I think might be slight. Other than, you know, obviously Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III could be rich too, because Andrew Luck, I think, doesn't have an easy matchup, and I don't remember who Washington plays. But, man, if these guys come out and struggle their first game, you'll see people jumping off. You'll be amazed to see the price. Not that the prices will cut in half or anything, but definitely the market will soften, and you'll be amazed on some of the guys that people are only paying maybe $5-$10 now. If they catch a touchdown or they go off, it'll go up. So, hey, stay on your toes. If you've collected some of this early football, part of the reward, if you collect some early football and you just kind of hold it, when the game starts, you could just like boom, or maybe if you have extra, especially if you opened up a lot of maybe top series one or whatever, or in score, the kind of sets that you kind of afford to open up a lot of. If you kind of held all the rookies, or maybe you have kind of a little base set together with at least one of the rookies, and you've got some extras, now's the time to capitalize on this first week hype when everybody loves football. You know, as we get into the grind of the mid-season, you have Thanksgiving and Christmas kind of mixing in there with people's minds. But right now, right this week, and these next 2 weeks or so, it's all going to be football, so all the time. So you might want to capitalize it with that. Free up a little extra cash. If you got a couple rookies or a couple of these guys that pop off, you might want to think about freeing up some cash, because, hey, there's going to be a ton of products that comes out this year. You're always going to want to have a few bucks on hand to get a pack or two or a box or a single. Whatever you decide, You really can't go wrong. So, well, hey, thanks for tuning in today, folks. That, I think, wraps it up. I don't think I have anything else today. One last thing I wanted to say. I was going to talk. We've kind of gone long here. I wanted to talk about Panini Prime Hockey. I might have a chance to talk about it on the next show. But in the vein that I know that there's a lot of hockey collectors. Since we don't talk a lot of hockey on this show, I don't know how many tune in and listen. But Panini Prime Hockey looked pretty darn good to me. For a late season product where they kind of threw out maybe what they had, not threw out in a sense of like garbage, but they kind of released maybe what they had left of Ryan Nugent Hopkins and maybe some other jerseys that they had. I saw a lot of like prime pieces. They used Lettermans in a way. Like they had manufactured Lettermans, but they also had like game used ones. They had stuff from the All-Star game. There's just a lot of different cards in there. I thought that was like – and it was a $200 box. It was like five or six cards, I think. It wasn't a whole lot of cards in there. It was a really premium product. But I thought, man, if they could have that in basketball or football or if they had a baseball license or something, that's the kind of product people would get really, really excited about. So there was a decent amount of on-card stuff in there. The rookies were like these quad. It honestly reminded me a lot of like kind of upper – a little bit upper deck and a little bit of top. So almost like they had an upper deck guy do the quad stuff and the tops guy do the Letterman stuff. So I thought it was a good use of not copying other people, but at least putting your own spin. I mean, at this point, so many cards have been made, it's kind of hard to not have it look like something or remind you of something in the past. But for Panini, I thought it looked good, and I'm looking at just pictures in person. Typically the cards look quite a bit better. So Panini Prime Hockey, even if you don't collect hockey, you might want to go check that set out. I threw up a checklist for it and a decent number of pictures in there. There was a ton of subsets. I tried to get up as many photos as I could because the cards looked really good to me. So you might want to check that out if you're a halfway hockey fan. If you're a hockey fan, you already know about the set. I think you probably are at least mildly excited about it. If not, if you can't afford the $200 box, I think it's worth going in there and getting a single card or two. I think there was definitely some stuff in there that was worth collect. I know if they had basketball or football of that, I would definitely be looking for something in that set, and maybe it'd be out of my price range, but I'd at least have fun looking at it and trying to bid on it. So hey, that's half the battle. We've like battled it all the way here, folks. We're done with today's show. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back shortly. Have fun watching football this week. It should be exciting. I don't even know if you'll be listening to this podcast because there'll be so much stuff going on. You might not even catch this until after the first week. So whatever it might be, thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.